From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks. Today, we have the latest out of Pierre looking at the State of the Judiciary and State of the Tribes addresses. We'll also hear a recap of Governor Larry Roden's State of the State address yesterday. It's Wednesday, January 14th. Here are today's stories. In the first week of session, key priorities are laid out by some of the state's most prominent figures. For the court system, the state of the judiciary offers a window into priorities for the coming 12 months. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
The speech delivered by State Supreme Court Chief Justice Stephen Jensen comes after a year of reflection on the state's court network and comes with input from judges in every corner of South Dakota.
Our stated mission is this. The UJS is dedicated to providing a fair, impartial and accessible court system that upholds the rule of law and is worthy of the public's trust and confidence. Our vision, justice for all, speaks to the very heart of our work. It is a reminder that the courts exist for everyone.
Jensen says there are six key pillars that represent both a promise and a call to action for lawmakers.
Number one, enhancing access to justice for court users. Two, building public trust and confidence. Three, effective court operations and services. Four, improving courthouse security. Five, embracing and enhancing technology. And six, fostering a strong workforce.
Rapid City Senator Greg Blanc sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee. He says he's happy with these goals moving into session season.
Chief Justice Jensen, I think that he's nailing it. He realizes that there are a few flaws in our judicial system, and we want to rectify them. I'm thankful that he's willing to address some of the issues that some of the citizenry have brought to me and just asking if anything can be done.
As of today, there are 20 active bills between the House and Senate Judiciary Committees, though it's likely more will debut before crossover day in February. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
The president of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe is calling for reconciliation between the state of South Dakota and the Sioux Nation governments. That's the latest on the 2026 State of the Tribes address. President Kathleen Woodenknife began her speech by looking back and recalling some of the darkest times in Lakota history.
As you know, our Lakota people were subjected to war and massacres as we sought to protect our homes.
She specifically acknowledged a law passed by South Dakota's congressional delegation in December, the Wounded Knee Memorial and Sacred Sites Act. The bill honors the hundreds of Lakota who were massacred by the U.S. Army in 1890. Woodenknife urged more collaboration between state government and the nine tribes located in South Dakota.
We call upon the governor and the state legislature to engage with our Sioux Nation tribes on the basis of government-to-government relations, with open, honest, and respectful dialogue to find mutually beneficial solutions for shared concerns. For our part, the Sioux Nation tribes pledge to work with the state through respective government-to-government relations for the benefit of the Lakota people and all South Dakotans. Our tribal governments have important LEAP and SNAP agreements with the state. We should have quarterly meetings with the governor and the legislature. It's time for us to join hands to work together to a brighter future for all our people and our next seven generations.
She says the tribes look forward to future collaboration with the state. Woodenknife mentioned many issues the Sioux Nations would like the state to work with the tribes on. That included welfare and equal education for Native children, help with public safety and tribal law enforcement, job creation, water, and infrastructure. A major topic Woodenknife addressed is the lack of Native health care access.
The federal courts ruled that the 1868 treaty mandates competent physician-led health care, and Rosebud and our other tribes continue to struggle to secure such care. As a result, our Lakota and Dakota people have the lowest life expectancy in America at 47 for men, 56 for women. In contrast, nationwide, the life expectancy is 77 years among the general public and 65 years among Native Americans throughout America. In short, the Sioux Nation tribes need health education, better nutrition, community wellness, and patient advocacy to traverse the healthcare system.
That includes the Indian-managed healthcare model under Medicaid. It could allow tribes to contract with the state of South Dakota to manage healthcare for Native people under Medicaid. The cost would be fully covered by the federal government. A bill on the LRC's website would establish a task force to look into the prospect. Governor Larry Roden gives his first State of the State address. Policy dominated Roden's speech. Governor Roden was introduced by his Lieutenant Governor Tony Venhuizen. Venhuizen kicked things off by asking the legislature to focus on sound decision-making and good policy over politics.
These seats are not ours, And this work is about governing. Whatever our backgrounds or viewpoints, all of us will be serving here together for the next 9 weeks. Let us commit ourselves to working together in the spirit of good government, in the spirit of good policy, to make South Dakota better.
Roden's remarks began with a similar sentiment. He preached the importance of convening as lawmakers, giving nods to legislative studies, governor-appointed task forces, and September's special session to vote on a prison.
I'm talking about convening because it's important for you all to understand my leadership style. I don't need to be the smartest man in the room. It's more important to me to get the right people in the room, people with different perspectives or focused on solution. Shortly after becoming governor, I pledged to all of you to a cornerstone of my administration, which would be civility. I believe we achieved that last year. So let's all recommit to civility this legislative session.
This comes during a session many believe politics could creep into. This year, all legislative seats are up for grabs during the November elections, and multiple lawmakers are vying for other positions at the local, state, and federal levels. With that has come endorsements from many in the legislature. Roden's address focused on many key topics lawmakers are expected to debate on over the next 3 months. That includes property taxes, which has caught headlines in recent years due to rising homeowner-occupied property tax rates. Roden pitched his plan to legislators, saying it's time for more substantial relief.
I propose that we cut owner-occupied taxes by giving the people of each county a simple option. Replace the county's share of property taxes with a half-cent sales tax. The people elected leaders at the county level could implement this plan if it fits their community, or they could refer it to a vote of the people, or the people could even initiate it. The areas with the biggest property tax increase are also those that attract the most visitors. So this proposal will allow those counties to cut property taxes and draw more revenues from tourists and out-of-staters.
Property taxes are expected to be one of the most contentious debates of the session. Republican Senate Majority Leader Jim Melhoff says there's a lot to discuss.
When you're talking about meaningful property tax, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. I think the only way you get there is by reforming the way that we fund education and special education.
As of Tuesday, over 20 property tax proposals have been submitted to the Legislative Research Council's website. A majority of those came during a legislative task force on the subject this summer. Roden says he plans to host property tax town halls around South Dakota to hear from those affected. He says he's planned stints at the hardest hit areas, naming Sioux Falls, the Black Hills, and Clay, Turner, and Union counties. He extended the offer to all communities in the state. Roden also affirmed his support of the governor-controlled Future Fund and reinforced his stance on state-led economic development, a debated topic in last session.
Economic growth is a good thing, and we should encourage it. But growth should not be reckless. We should be bold enough to seize opportunity and wise enough to prepare for the future in a responsible way.
The Legislative Government Operations and Audit Committee pledged to support a bill that would rein in powers of the Future Fund by creating additional rules on it and requiring expenditures to be approved by the State Board of Economic Development. Roden also spoke on the Rural Health Transformation Plan. The state was awarded $189 million in federal funding next year for its plan. He says it fits South Dakota.
This plan was built with extensive input from rural communities, the Great Plains Tribal Leaders Health Board, and the healthcare providers and other stakeholders from across the state. They told us what they need, and this plan delivers it. South Dakota is competing with every other state, and in future years, the federal government will reward states that move quickly on this. We could be the first state in the nation to authorize this funding.
Roden told the chamber he would love it if this bill was the first to reach his desk for a signature. He also says he plans to draft a bill cracking down on mail-order abortion medicines. Sioux Falls Democrat Kaden Whitman says there's a strong appetite for more conversations on the abortion debate.
I think more than anything, my reaction was disappointment that the governor would use such blatant misinformation and mistruths around abortion medication in South Dakota. If there is an appetite for a conversation around it in South Dakota, I'm hopeful that we'll see it this year.
South Dakota's legislative session runs through mid-March. SDPB will provide coverage of every committee hearing and House and Senate floors for the entire session through journalism and live streams found at sdpb.org/sdnetwork. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
Operation Prairie Thunder has wrapped up saturation patrol operations in the city of Brookings. State leaders say the operation is a statewide public safety initiative targeting drugs, violent crime, and assisting with immigration enforcement. The two-day patrol in Brookings resulted in 13 people in custody. Six of those involved contacting Immigration and Customs Enforcement, according to the Department of Public Safety. Brookings marked the 10th community involved in an Operation Prairie Thunder patrol. Officials say statewide, the operation has led to 432 individuals in custody. 81 of those involved contact with ICE. South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley says candidates or office holders can use campaign funds to pay for childcare or security. Jackley says his office released this opinion after a request from a state lawmaker who wanted clarity on campaign expenditure rules. The opinion says childcare or security expenses directly incurred due to campaign activity or public office duties qualify for campaign expenditures. Jackley added that lawmakers can revise statutes to further clarify state law if they wish. State investigators say a man is facing charges in connection to a fatal crash near Wagner. 32-year-old Darian Wright is charged with vehicular manslaughter, DUI, and leaving the scene of the accident. That's according to Attorney General Marty Jackley. Jackley says a 29-year-old woman was found dead at a Wagner residence Saturday. Investigators determined she was involved in a car crash earlier that evening. Wright was allegedly driving the vehicle at the time of the crash. Both Wright and a child who was in the car received minor injuries. Jackley says additional charges may be filed. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.